tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello and welcome, Boardwalk Empire fans. I'm Kevin Undergaro, your host here tonight. Season 5, Episode 4, entitled Quanto. I am here with the lovely and talented... Who am I here with?
Hi, guys. This is Sarah Stratton.
Sarah Stratton.
Quanto. So.
And you know, Sarah, not to just call you out, but you've got the bright red lipstick on that... Mike August had just sent me an email saying about tonight's episode, lots of reds.
I was channeling Sally.
It's Sally and Margaret's dress on the boardwalk, and the roses that we see that that young Nucky sees, and I don't know. And we always know in filmmaking, red is blood. It can be love, but it can also be blood, and it can also be martyrdom and so many other not so fun things. What's to say? Another great episode. No surprise to me, anyway. Your thoughts?
I thought it was a really good episode. I'm sure we're going to get into it step by step. I'm going to point out that I totally made a correct prediction last week.
Which
about
was?
We were going to get a death this week. It was going to happen. And both of them were kind of built up to the ones we were speculating. And my prediction was correct.
That's Sally.
Bye-bye, Sally. We'll get into it, I'm sure.
Yes, of course we will. And I think we're going to be seeing many more deaths because we're on this roller coaster ride. It's interesting that... the way, you know, Terrence Winter is taking this, you know, and we always go back to, I always go back to filmmaking, and your act three is when things start to accelerate. That's mm-hmm. the last act. That's the last third of your film. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt that most of these series are just feature films that are going however many episodes, you know, 36 or 48 or 60 episodes, sometimes more.
You don't get the full end of the second act until probably around eight. Episode 8.
Well, I'm making it bigger, just in the grander scheme.
Yeah, I'm saying,
I feel like your 60 episodes will rep of a 5-year season.
Oh, you're it's
you almost
it
look at
it
like a feature
that.
Film. And what I'm saying is, usually the last season when things start to accelerate.
See, for me,
we're not really accelerating.
I look at each season as like a feature.
And you can see
film.
It that way too. You're right.
That's how I always.
Okay, so you know,
I
so
feel
then.
Like they plot out. Like, there is the
I agree
over,
with that.
There is the... When I look at a full series, normally if I'm really inspired by it or really like it, it has something that's more full circle than a just complete arc
so,
or
you know
shift.
What? Okay.
And each
I correct
season
myself.
To me is an arc or shift.
So I think each season... I agree that each season could be a film, and then mm-hmm. these are sequels.
Okay.
So you have your five...
Exactly.
But my point is, I feel like we should be accelerating now. You know, normally, in normal writing, it just starts mm-hmm. getting faster and faster, faster, and... We're not, and it's just a choice, and I'm okay with it. You know, mm-hmm. I'm curious if, you know, this is episode 4, we're halfway through. I'm curious what the next 4 are going to look like.
See,
if we are going to start speeding up.
I'm not expecting, like, full speed ahead until around 7, 8.
Okay.
So I was kind of predicting this pace right now. I think that we had to get back into the world. We had to, for the first couple episodes, not only set up this time period, but we also wanted to recall things all the way back to season 1. We wanted more character work. And now they had to introduce all new characters. Then we're getting into the problems. We're getting into new teams forming. We're getting into new alliances, new wars. And that all has to be prepped.
I mean, but again, it's just such... It's incredible that they've bitten off this much.
Yes.
You know, with it to... To be, to only do eight
oh,
episodes.
Oh, I'm so wrong. It's 8 episodes, so it can't be episode. In my head, I was thinking
no,
a 10 episode. You're
but,
right.
And by the way, but I'm loving
Guys, I'm
it,
sorry,
and
just,
I'm loving it because
me.
He's a great storyteller, and
I'm
all in on
10.
That's it. No, it's
and
8.
We don't have 10.
We're halfway through. I'm all in on 1884. It's just beautiful, and I love seeing the beginning of Atlantic City. I like seeing the beginning of any of these cities, mm-hmm. you know. Even Vegas, you know, started out mm-hmm. with Bugsy Siegel, how he started it. And, you know, to see that this Commodore character has really, for all intents and purposes, it seems like he's the one that built Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm. And well, yet, we knew that.
But I'm just saying, yet, and you think of the public eye, you know, you don't think of this guy that created Atlantic City. So I just, I love seeing the formations, but we especially see, we're seeing even more about how Nucky became Nucky, his relationship with Eli, I think is really great foreshadowing. Let's take it from the beginning when he, you know, he walks, he goes into the place, he wants to go back to work.
Into
1884. Oh, no, you know what? I'm sorry. You're right. I'm out of sequence. Sorry, I'm just excited. Chicago.
No worries. Let's start with Chicago.
Let's start with Chicago.
Where a lot of the meat of this episode is, I was so glad we got to see the players start to interact. We have Lucky. We have Capone. And, of course, we have Van Alden, who I don't know how to refer to now as Van Alden or Mueller. But to me, this is where the, where this ends up is the alliances and with the wars. Because Lucky came out to extend some sort of Italian olive branch or networking. And Capone kind of skirts his way around it and lets him say that it's an idea. It's the seed has been planted.
Yeah, basically, I will take it, you know, we will take it under advisement is the response he gets. But it was very interesting to see. We've seen Capone at his ultimate peak right now. There is 10 people even to deliver a simple message to somebody. I mean, it's ridiculous how much he's got, how much yes, how many yes men he has, how much affluence he has, how much power he has. But go ahead.
Speaking to your chain of command about specifically, are you referring to the Empire State Building and the elephants?
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, absolutely.
But I always, speaking of chain of command, just how they vocalized that command, how it passed through so quickly, and how the words got diluted. And the entire message was lost. It started with, can you put the Empire State Building next to the elephants on my decks? It ended up with building desk or, like, building elephants. It didn't even make sense through this chain of command. So Capone might have an idea.
Well, but, no, but, well, you see, because you see, he's going to fall.
We all know that.
We know that through history, but you, but Terrence Winter's showing us in his writing. And did you notice when he said, put it with the elephants. Now, you would think that Capone is an elephant, big, strong, you know, beast, whatever. And yet, when you saw the elephant with the Empire State Building dwarfed these tiny little elephants. And, of course, to me, that symbolized New York and the New York Mafia power chain. And
And this clash of, like, the wild versus the corporate versus, like, what can be tamed and what is out of control.
100%. Great.
And, I mean, you get the elephant. I might be reading too into this. Mike August will let me know. I don't know. But you do have the saying that an elephant never forgets.
Yep.
And you also know that elephants are big and they are one of the most dangerous animals on the planet. And to me, they very much relate to Capone because he does have this temper. He does have this power, like uncontrollable power. And he also never seems to really let things go or completely forget. He might think he passes over something, but it always comes back up for him. Which is interesting.
And I think of other people who also represent the elephant, too, not forgetting. Lucky not forgetting Van Alden. But it was interesting with Lucky how he treated Capone. Did you see? Everyone was just ass-kissing and afraid. Yes, Al, right away, Al. Except for Lucky. Lucky is so condescending. He's the smart-ass to him.
He's trying to be manipulative, and on some aspects it's working, but
I just feel like I felt like he had a lot of disdain. Lucky did for Al and his power, and I think he was basically saying, like, this will all work for all of us if we work together. So you may think it's less money for you, but it's going to be more money for you and more money for all of us. I'm not coming into this room. My bosses aren't coming into this room to say, screw you, Al. We're the bosses. You take orders from us. What he's saying is, like, let's all work together. And you can see it's bothering Lucky that you know, they were Muppet babies at one time. They were all equals. And now he's become this big, out-of-control beast who's obnoxious and doesn't want to share the spoils. But it was interesting that he took that much crap from Lucky. I mean, Wallace Beery, to compare him to, you know, he's a fat actor from back in the day, actually a great actor if you want to look at some of his old films. But very interesting that he was taking all the shots at him. And you see how much it pissed Al off, but Al didn't react to it directly,
mm-hmm.
which shows you, obviously, he respects the Empire State Building. He respects New York.
He has an awareness of the other powers,
but he's pissed about it. But he's pissed about it.
Of course. Hence the rage at his little lackey.
Oh, the God.
I want to say his name was something like Ralph. It's somewhere in my notes, but it's lost amongst my scribbles.
Does it even matter?
It doesn't, because he was literally just a punching bag. I felt so bad for him the whole episode. He represented Lucky,
mm-hmm. and he represented New York. And what he couldn't take out on him, he took out. Typical beast, he took it out on this mm-hmm. poor soul. Backing up, let's talk about Van Alden. Like, I remember that guy. And blah, 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 you know, and of course, everyone runs out, gets Van Alden, a.k.a. Mueller.
Mm-hmm. And, well, we knew this was going to come out at some point.
Right, because we saw in the
preview. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting for... we knew the moment that I think it was Mueller got involved with O'Banion that eventually his past was going to come out, that he wasn't going to just be able to be a salesman.
Right.
We knew that he was not going to be able to hide this whole, you know, agent past. And right. I'm really happy they're bringing it up at the end of this whole season that is coming through. Because if we hadn't seen that really come to fruition, I would have been upset.
How clever was Van Alden's response to
was
say...
Was it clever, or was it just him being, like, a smart person? And, like, I think that just came from desperation.
Well, obviously, he didn't even remember what he said, and he soiled himself, so... what he said was clever. Maybe he wasn't clever for saying it, but
the writing
it was great
was
to say.
Clever.
It was for him to say.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter because I've killed for you. So I've committed all these crimes. So what kind of agent could I be if I'm killing all these people for you? And I'm solid. I'm making you money mm-hmm. for 7 straight years. And this guy walks in out of nowhere telling you how to run your business.
I liked how also what he admitted. What he was like, I might be an agent, be a murderer,
right.
were things he actually was.
Right.
And it was just, I thought it was so well written and so well acted out.
Great actor.
It was a phenomenal scene. It was probably my favorite scene of the episode.
Wow.
I thought he did a really, really strong job with that monologue where I felt like I could see every wheel, like, just full speed spewing it out. And then you got that drawback in at the end where I just thought he did a brilliant job.
He lets him go because he rules by love, not fear.
That part was awkward. And I was just like, oh, and now we have to see the other
side.
Well,
so many of these guys, and you've seen it with some of the modern day mm-hmm. mafiosos, they in a weird way, they view themselves as the Robin Hoods. They
view themselves as the father figure.
Yes.
They view themselves as they really is.
Yeah, cops
family.
Are bad, government's bad, and we're just taking
we're
back.
We're going to take care of our own.
That's it.
It's not, we're going to be bad people. It's like, this is the family.
Right,
you
right.
know?
We're
and
just taking care of our
it
family.
It is that I'm going to love you and be there
right,
for you.
Right.
And then if you make me angry, randomly kill you.
Yeah, randomly kill you.
It's fine. It's completely normal. Remind me to bring up Van Alden at the very end for our last button, because I think that was, it's an interesting turn.
Okay. Just on the symbolic note, when they were questioning him about wheat fields. And he said, brown rots wheat.
Uh-huh.
And I felt that...
Brown rust rots the leaf.
Brown rust rots the leaf. Mm-hmm. And I felt that that was symbolic. We've had nothing but talks of black and white. And mm-hmm. and at least on Sons of Anarchy, black is African-American, brown is Latino, and white, of course, is white, Caucasian. But... Miss Wheat is in mm-hmm. Cuba, you know, with the Latino, and I knew that line meant
there's an interesting
something.
Parallel
and,
there.
And
what, it was an interesting, almost
so,
foreshadow.
I knew. I wrote it down, like, oh, that means something.
Miss Wheat is in danger.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think that was definitely a forewarning.
Anyway, we're great. I'm grateful that Van Alden lives. Because I want to see him at the end.
And I think more can come out of that, of his storyline. More complexity,
yes.
more directions.
Absolutely.
More opportunities, because now we haven't gotten a ton of him, but we do have the agent who is amongst Capone's midst,
right.
who has been able to sneak in, who's now looking up Van Alden at the same time and has now found him. And we've kind of gotten a little bit of him through this whole season. So I really think that that's going to add an interesting dynamic as well. Or who is going to claim Van Alden? Is he going to have to run away again? Is he going to get caught by Capone? Is he going to get caught by Necky? Or is the other side going to try and bring him back?
That's right. Does the Fed say to him, listen, are you one of us or not? Here's your only chance.
Here's your way back to the good side.
Work with us.
Yeah, which I think could be a very strong pull. And we'll see. Then I think we might also get more from his wife coming back.
Husband?
Exactly.
That was my wife. I wish she was my wife. She's great.
She needs to have a voice in this.
We talked about the foreshadowing I thought was foreshadowing for Cuba.
Before we move on, I also want to throw out, I thought it was really interesting how they added the news footage.
Oh,
as the introduction,
yep.
The old movie reel, the black and white, and how they started it not as... We didn't get the awareness that it was on TV. We just got it filling the entire screen. And
well,
then
it was a movie.
Back.
It was in the movie theater.
And then it was in his house.
It was in his house, but
just to tell the
fans at home that don't know, because it was before television... That is how people got their news, through newspapers, and they would go. People used to go to the movies every night. It was a nightly thing. And when television came, all the movie executives were terrified because it went down from every night to, you know, once on the weekend. And of course, the industry survived. But that is one of the premier ways that people would get their news. And they'd run these newsreels in the movie houses before your favorite feature. And that's what that one was. And of course, he got his hands on it and couldn't watch it enough. You know, it was like his highlight reel.
You definitely know that he went to the theater and was like, it's me. And then he went and held up the joint and took it out.
I'm sure it was probably a little bit more high end than that, Sarah.
I think he literally stood up in the middle of the theater.
Capone was, he was a celebrity. Mm-hmm. He had every mayor, everyone was in his pocket. And the president just kind of stayed away from him because he was so popular too. Mm-hmm. I mean, people bought into that whole Robin Hood thing. It was very sexy. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, the government, you know, brought him down with his finances.
But it was an interesting component that they added to the show this week and how they edited it in. I thought it was...
Yeah, what was your point about it? I loved it. I mean...
I just wanted to talk about it. I think that I wanted to hear your point. I thought that it was very interesting and something we haven't really seen before.
Oh, the newsreels.
Newsreels, the black and white, how they... It was kind of... I couldn't tell if this was real narration, if they did all of this just for tonight's show, or if any of that was pulled from real life footage.
I bet you it was.
I'd like to look it up by next week.
And I think I bet you the VO was
original. Exactly, and
too.
That's what I'm wondering.
I
the
bet
narration.
You it was. And, you know, it's funny. I almost wish in this... you know, this show started in the 20s, which was when movies really came to life. The first Academy Awards was in 29, but... In the early, you know, we always had our films, but they started to hit their stride in the early 20s. And I wish we saw more of it on Boardwalk. You know, we saw theater, we've seen vaudeville. I just wish we saw a little bit more of the medium of film.
Well, now they're adding in the news. Maybe we'll get a film by the
end. Yeah, I don't know. With five episodes left,
it would take up some time. Now you can go on to Sally. Sorry, I interrupted
Cuba.
You.
Okay, to Cuba. No, but good interruption. Thank you. It's interesting, you know, Sally Wheat is waiting for a wire from Necky, and it's raining, which, of course, we know rain is foreshadow for something that's not so good, but...
Either represents foreshadowing of bad omens, thunder does,
but
too.
But who knows? Maybe that saves Nucky's life, because maybe if Necky had gone down there to deliver the money, he'd be the one that was ambushed and killed, maybe.
Maybe. It also leaves the way a little bit more open for him and Margaret.
To what?
It also leads the path a little open for him and Margaret.
Absolutely. But it's another way of how Necky just seems to survive.
We all knew this was going to happen. Sally
I didn't know.
I knew.
Well, you're smarter than me.
I knew this last week. And then she was so isolated this week. He really puts it all on her. He says, use your judgment. You can tell she's not comfortable, really, which we've never really seen her in. I felt that she was uncomfortable.
She was.
Especially like when she was handing over the money, there was the drawback.
She saw the guy's trunks. She was clearly leaving with the money.
And she clearly didn't take the money back, though, because it wasn't in her car.
What could she do? How could she get it back at that point? Once you hand over a bag, she's a female. How's she going to get it back?
So, no good for Sally.
You know, she just had to kind of go with it. And then it was very interesting how the policeman... You know,
we got a lot of cultural references this episode, not only just in Cuba itself, but in the exchanging of language throughout multiple characters. You get the introduction of Margaret, and I think that we're going to call him Archie now. You get that kind of transference of her teaching him English, him finally being able to interact. You get later Margaret with Kennedy speaking in Gaelic. You get the introduction of Sally as her speaking in Spanish to the, I believe it was the banker or the guy in the white suit. I'm not sure what his name was.
Right.
But there's a lot of different languages throughout this episode, blending of cultures, bringing in the awareness of what was happening in Cuba. There was this military disturbance that people were in trouble and that it was starting to affect business. So they add a lot of that to me, just kind of under the surface, letting you know it's there. We've dealt so much with these characters, but there is an outside world. There are other countries. There is more going on.
Right.
And how that those identities play into the characters.
The culture clashing and then, you know, the foreshadowing of Cuba. Mm-hmm. When you have the way the policeman talked to her, it's like, you know, basically like you're an American. You just want to come down here. You're a foreigner. Come down here. Pay our people nothing. Mm-hmm. Treat us like dirt. And think you have it all figured out. Well, you don't. And even though at the end he knew the line was crossed, like she's an American, like we, you know, it seemed like he was probably going to kill her or do something with her, but he was very concerned that
much
the idiot,
more discreet.
Yes, the idiot did it out in the public. But
what does this mean for Nucky's business? What does this mean for Bacardi?
It's all going down. It's going down. Nucky's business is swirling down.
Yeah.
It's swirling
down. Well, we did hear from Kennedy, though, that what was it? Rum and scotch don't mix. So if rum's not in the picture.
Right. Rum and scotch doesn't mix. Of course, I think there's just many more layers to that, you know, in terms of
we're talking
race relations
we're
and things like
culture,
that.
We're talking about
culture as well. Italians and Irish, too. But
Nucky's getting left out in the cold. No one wants.
I mean,
he's
not Italian. When we
he's
get
not
there,
quite Irish enough.
Do you, I mean the last thing I'll say about was interesting was Doyle drinking soda, which to me was says something about him. Mm-hmm. And you know, as an Irishman, you know, now he's drinking soda. It says something about him. It also says something about switching over to more legit enterprises and practices.
Sure.
Going to Joe Kennedy and Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, talking about that exchange, we see them both their feet bobbing, and you know, for a moment,
that was a very interesting.
Where I'm saying to myself, this is the Margaret corporate wife, who's the amazing corporate wife, who is charming and entertaining,
who is
this,
so good at
man.
Being the personable person around Nucky. You got a little bit of that already with. I love Archie. I'm sorry. I really like the Archie conversation, so I'm going to keep bringing it up.
Right.
When he started translating.
She's humanizing him, which might not be a good thing because you need him to be tough, but maybe it is if we're moving into something more legitimate.
Yeah.
Then, you know, we see the way she humanizes him. And
the way she connects to Kennedy.
And we know with Kennedy, the thing that was so suspect, he was like, Nucky, you
don't have
you have nothing. You stand for nothing. You have no emotion. You're scary. I mean, I'll tell you guys, I was just having this conversation with my girlfriend today about somebody that...
Here comes the personal answer.
Personal, but you know what? There's somebody that I knew that, you know, she was like, yeah, this person's just very complex. And I one of the reasons why I didn't want to do a business dealing with the person was because they had no feelings. They were not close to their parents. They were not close to anybody. They didn't have a partner in life. And I said, you know, it just spooks me. And it wasn't that the person was a bad person, just spooked the hell out of me. And I said, you know, I don't know if I want to be close to someone like that, business-wise. And I think that's Joe Kennedy who was like, you know, because you're scared. Someone like that is scary. Because how do you reach a person like that?
I don't think he was scared.
Oh,
I
think he was not scared to the point. Oh, I'm trembling, but I'm concerned. I'm not going
to
do business with you.
Definitely not wanting to.
But not because he couldn't make money with him,
but because he didn't like who he was as a person in a way.
And because that person is the type of person that brings you down, doesn't stand by your side, doesn't, you know, that's not connected to other people. And when he leaves the living room, when he leaves Nucky's place, he says, that's the first sensible thing. Something to that effect that I've even heard you say when he was saying, you know, my wife should stay here with me. It was like, wow, you're finally a person. And so, you know, I'm rooting for, as I've always been rooting for Margaret and Nucky, I think they're really good for each other. And we'll talk about their date, where that really turns out to be. But I feel like they're good for each other. My concern is with her wearing red. And Mike August is going to say, I read his email and he has this in his catches, but seeing the red on her and knowing that Nucky's other girlfriend was wearing red when she on the boardwalk, I'm just hoping that she's now not headed for the same fate. And if we don't, end the series where Nucky's just alone and a loner. Anyway.
Sally's nails were red, too.
Yes. So, I don't know. I'm hoping for better things. But let's talk about... We see Kennedy and her. They connect. Nice little thing. It just tells us, wow, this actually could mean the Kennedy deal could go down. But then Kennedy's just like,
listen, I'm just here to tell you no.
Yes, I'm here to tell you no. And there's safety in numbers. What did he mean by that?
Oh, that was a reference back to that's why he had so many kids.
Right.
So that's,
and just in general, having family, having lots
family,
of friends.
Having
which
team.
Joe Kennedy did. He had tons of friends.
Yeah, I think it was directly a reference to having children. Because it was also like, have fun with your wife. She's staying here. Have some kids. It was a line he also used in a previous episode, why he had so many. But I think in a larger picture, it does translate more to the series that there is just safety in numbers when it comes to people bonding, when it comes to these gangs kind of creating alliances.
I guess maybe,
I think it broadens to that.
And I think of, you know, it was Eli who saved Nucky. You know, I remember it was season 3, or, you know, he stepped in, or season 4 with Chip. I'm sorry, guys, I'm not recalling. But when he stepped in and said, can we talk? And they went on their walk, and, you know, he basically saved him. So, and it's interesting. We know that he's got our nephew who we haven't seen in a while. So, just very interesting, their strength in numbers. Margaret and Nucky go out for dinner, and he's like, that's my wine. That's how the dinner starts out. She's eating a salad. And he's drinking wine.
There's a lot of reference to coffee.
Right. Yeah. Again with the coffee. He was great with it, too.
Wake up. Wake up and look at what's in front of you and be happy or something.
I think it's waking up. Yes. Wake up to what is important
Stop
in this
being
world.
So cranky.
Family, things like that. I think it's also coffee is not alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the opposite, I think, of alcohol, which, you know, alcohol is going to put you – it's a drug, but it puts you in a far different – an opposite state. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I don't, you know, coffee beans and things like that, you know, in the Latin America and that region. But anyway, they're on their date, so to speak, and starts out a little cool, and then, of course, as though they consume more wine.
They had a very nice. It was a very nice train for their conversation to start to kind of make amends with the this. We're not going to have any more fights. You get the handshake. You kind of. The glimpse of romance as they don't really let go. Then you get them really not giving each other, like, she calls him out about the Kennedy, and then they hide still the feelings of, I'm not going to put it out there what we could be. You say some things, you don't say some things. So they're very, at this point, I feel like they're very upfront about all the business. They're very upfront about the numbers, about the problems, about who they're interacting with. About what the plan is, they are very confidential about what they want from each other emotionally. And no one really wants to say anything first.
She keeps saying, what are you up to? What are you up to? Which I love. Mm-hmm. They come out of the dinner, and we should probably have covered the dinner more, and I'm sorry if I'm rushing over it, but they come out of the dinner, and she says it stopped raining, which is interesting. You know,
it's also right after they made amends.
And... it just looked like a romantic old Hollywood movie. And we haven't seen this from the two of them in a long time. And I don't know if we've even seen it in the series. We haven't seen it from a character in the series. It was such a beautiful moment, I thought. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for it to just culminate in a nice way. But then he gets her a room and a cab ride home.
How did you feel about that? Did you know it was coming?
No, I didn't know it was coming. But I think he's playing a little, I think it's, he's running game, a little bit of game. Not the game where he's a business game. I think he's running a little game, like a romantic game, like a little hard to get, like, you know what, now go home, you know what, and I did the right thing.
Interesting.
You get 25 cents on the dollar, this is what you tell her, I know you can handle it. And
the last time he said that to Sally, it didn't end so well.
Yeah, Sally's not Margaret.
That's true.
Sally is not Margaret.
But still, I don't like those parallel lines. And I was not expecting him to offer her a room somewhere else. And I felt very sad, and I felt like she felt rejected.
She did, but she said, but it was nice that she said, what are you up to? It really
needed that line.
It felt like a romantic comedy. And so I thought it was nice.
We needed that line.
And he just kept walking. And that's what I think. I think he's just, I think he's playing a little hard to get.
Okay.
I mean, because he was melting for her, I thought, when they were having their dinner.
You thought, okay.
I think he was, don't you think he was into her?
I think that she impresses him. I think that what impresses him most about her is actually her interactions with other people. I think she creates kind of a spark in him when he gets to see these conversations with her and Kennedy, with her right. and
because
Archie.
It's the it could with, be the wife and family.
She, yeah, it's when she throws out the lines about, I didn't bring the pictures because I didn't want you to think that. I feel like that's when I see him react the most. But they did have a lovely dinner scene.
And yeah, and off she goes. And I do, I hope the red is not foreshadowing for her death. But it seems to me.
I don't see it coming soon.
It seems to me that Nucky also admits that he doesn't have that much money,
mm-hmm.
you know, left from different business dealings. Now he's just given another sizable portion away mm-hmm. to Cuba. And I feel as though the gangster life
is not fulfilling for him.
It's not working. The illegal life is not working. And I just wonder if we aren't, if this series doesn't end with the ironic ending, which is I'm not super successful or powerful in business, but I have love and I have something more important. I have family and I have love. I wonder. I'm just saying. I know you're looking at me like I have 20 heads.
I'm leaning to be on your side.
Because it seems like he's losing that, but he might be gaining more with
and we're getting so much
1884. So go to 1884, which is laying
so
down the seeds.
It's so much about family. It is about how Nucky became who he is. It is about how his business ventures
and
what he wants.
But also, yes, how his business came to be, but also why he has such compassion for people. With mm-hmm. his mom and why he used to always try to find a way to be familial.
Yeah.
I think that this, the sheriff, what a surprise. You know, we see he's saying to Eli, and so sweet, and Eli's just a little kid. He's protecting him from seeing the sex.
Mm-hmm.
Then he takes him to the beach and he tries to say like, I want, you know, there's better other things in life that we could have and mm-hmm. we should have them. You know, and it's so sweet. Why are you yelling at me? Dad yells at me. And we get to know their relationship, that Nucky was the older mm-hmm. brother who always was ahead of the curve, looking out for him. And Eli even says after they get caught, we shouldn't be here. We should have just stayed where we were. And you get the feeling Eli loved his big family.
He didn't need to know more. Like,
right. He would have been happy just being a policeman,
very happy
getting
being
health benefits and having his family.
Unaware of the other options.
Right. Much more just into family and being mm-hmm. more the Joe Kennedy way, but almost like he's the Joe Kennedy, but without the wanting all the money and power.
Of course.
So we see all that. He takes him in. He's like, I want to show you. So he takes him into where he worked. By the way, we're skipping over the fact that he's fired.
Mm-hmm.
Look, summer's over. Turn your code in. Commodore is all business. But Commodore makes sure he shows him because he just can't help. I think he's so excited about his big grand plans for Atlantic City. He lays it all out to him and he's like, okay, now beat it, kid. What did you make of that?
I think I feel constantly with their conversations that the Commodore is just always testing him. Everything's always a test. All of his questions, everything he shows him, he wants to see this. I feel like
that's a good thing, though, right? Yeah. That he must care about.
I think that's why he ended up being such a mentor to him, because there was so much challenge there, and there was so much like a need to impress and to learn how to use your words.
That was great. Don't come in questioning. Remember,
yeah.
He said
there was so many just like it's like life lesson after life lesson after life life lesson with the Commodore. Which is why I think we've heard about him so much in the previous seasons and why we haven't heard so much about the deputy or the sheriff.
You're right. And mm-hmm. You were mentioning just watching him clean.
Mm-hmm. Sweep the dirt away.
Sweeping the dirt away, sweeping the sand away. Obviously.
Sweeping up the mess.
Cleaning up the mess. So they go and they break into the hotel for all intents and purposes and they... He gives his brother a tour of like, wow, this is how it is. Wow, very cool. They get caught. And I'm petrified at what the hell is going to happen to two little boys in the 20s in Atlantic City, you know, in, excuse me, in 1931.
Very, very interesting, though. I feel like there was something behind why he was taking a bath more than just, like, it was luxury.
The symbolism of just, right, just what, cleaning himself.
Clean, bathes. I don't know. We'll have to ask Charlie. Maybe, he seems to see a lot of
I think cleaning,
symbolism.
Cleaning, probably cleaning away the poor life.
Maybe.
And
some sort of rebirth we've gotten with water a
rebirth,
lot.
Rebirth, baptism, I'm sure all that stuff. And again, winter, it's like I'd love to just talk to the guy because it's just so much. It's just beyond me. But I don't think any of it's a coincidence. And I was nervous because I thought something, you know, terrible was going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And two little boys, it was scary. And then, you know, it's revealed that, no, come have dinner with my family. And the Lindsay family, Ned and Ruth, the kids, just such nerds, but it's
really
awesome.
I don't know.
What?
I really liked the point of this conversation. I really liked the reward that we got with Nucky kind of breaking down and then crying and then
so
laughing.
Oh, so sweet.
Thought that one was sweet. The conversation between the family was painful for me to listen to.
Why?
They're like... What was it, Mr. Lindsay?
Yeah, they would just. But by no way. Oh. Now listen.
Oh.
Other than Eli, we haven't seen one of these classic church-going nerd families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cornballs, basically, and I loved it.
I loved it.
By the way, that's how this country was built. What do you think? We used to be, that's what we were all like until we just all became opulent, jaded, cynical. You know, but. That's how it used to be, and I think he got to see that world and say, and I think
I liked that
I think
it touched
that,
him. I
yes.
liked that he got to see that. I liked that
like, wow, this
what
is,
that ingrained
real
in his
love,
wants.
Not an angry father who's a drunk.
That I loved. The actual conversation itself was awkward for me to watch. But
yeah, I mean,
but I accept it because of the payoff it got for him.
Yeah, I thought it was really nice. And it made me understand him. It got very clever of Winter.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could go, they could have gone another way and just had the kid see nothing but terrible things in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd be led to believe that maybe the love of his mother was all that
mm-hmm.
kept him from turning into Al Capone.
Mm-hmm. Or his love of woman.
Right. But now that we see that this deputy, when he says, you'll be my deputy sheriff, we see that, wow, this guy taught him the good.
Okay.
And he said, you know, and he's like, we're going to go. And when he brings takes him home, he's like, no, I can't I can't throw your father in jail. He'll just get out. And Nucky even goes so far to suggest to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, obviously, like, though, that's not how you do things. Instead, we're going to go in there. We're going to talk to him,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to talk. I'm going to tell him.
It's an interesting parallel to what the conversation
that's
that Nucky
right.
had with Margaret,
right?
She then offers to kill Caroline. Or Caroline.
Are you going to kill Caroline?
What's her name? Catherine Caroline. Cool.
Caroline. Caroline.
Was it
Caroline okay. Rothstein? Are you going to kill Caroline Rothstein? And he's mm-hmm. like, no, I'm going to offer her. You're going to offer her 25 cents on the dollar, and she's going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is because he's like, no, I'm not going to kill him. Instead, we're going to go in there and we're going to say, you worked for me all day. And then if there are problems, I'm going to handle it.
Take action.
And you're going to be my deputy sheriff. And it's a really nice moment. And again, I think this is the good influence that I believe Nucky received in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I thought it was very nice. I think and him and Eli thought it was beautiful seeing mm-hmm. that I thought it was very touching. And God, I'm so glad he didn't kill Eli years ago, you know, seasons ago, you know.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree with you. I just...
What?
Eli. I mean, we're going to... this is just making me think about that last moment.
Let's go to it. We saved it. The call from Chicago. After Capone bludgeons his henchman.
Which was a brutal scene.
Brutal.
I don't want to watch it again.
Such a rageful animal. You know, it's funny. People who've tried to romanticize Capone, it just seems that the wisest critics have just said that that's just who he was. He was just a beast. He was just a brutal man in a suit. You know, like Whitey Bulger now, like these people have tried to romanticize him. He tries to romanticize himself. But people in Boston, just going Boston, gangster with you, Irish mm-hmm. gangster. People are like, no, just a brutal guy. And you see it in that scene. But he says, get Eli here.
Mm-hmm.
And
then we get Nucky on the phone.
And he says, yeah.
And we have that we've encountered a problem. And then, of course, the problem. Not of course. He calls the problem Lucky.
Lucky.
Was not expecting that, first of all. There were so many things about this phone call that I did not expect.
I didn't know what to expect, but I'm not surprised.
True.
Because Lucky, because Lucky.
I didn't expect Eli to hand off the phone that quickly.
Oh, and he was a wreck, too. He was a disheveled wreck. I mean, but wait.
Any intro.
How could you be surprised? It's Al Capone is at his peak of power. He is the king at this point.
But I just was expecting Eli to give a little more. I was expecting them to say something about Van Alden. I didn't think he was going straight to Lucky.
You see how sick and crazy Al Capone is. Mm-hmm. Eli has children at home. He's got a family. Like, you know, the guy is a rabid pit bull. You do whatever the guy says. But we know that Nucky and Al had an understanding and had a relationship.
Yes.
We know that Lucky, you know, said, well, you know, who's Nucky? He's not Italian. And
I believe it was one of Capone's guys who brought up Nucky, though.
Was it?
I think so.
I thought
so.
It was Lucky, and Lucky was saying it with such disdain. I'm sorry, fans, you guys let us know, but I thought it was Lucky who had such disdain for Nucky.
I think how it was brought up in conversation earlier was that...
And they
started listing off cities, and then one of them said Atlantic City, and he said Atlantic City. Well, Nucky's not Italian,
right?
That's how it was brought in.
But he brought up Atlantic City because he was basically saying that to him.
Okay, and
it's so interesting that this is how pointless race relations are when you think about it. Because now, even within the Italians, where are you from? And when Capone's having his rage. He's like, that Sicilian piece of shit. You know, he's mm-hmm. like, where are you from in Italy? And Lucky has an answer. But there's always been a stigma about Sicily.
Well, the other part of that is that now Lucky's allegiances have been blurred because he is one thing, but then he murdered his
boss, so he's kind of crossed his
But
what I'm saying is that's mm-hmm. the absurdity of race, because now even within the Italian community, mm-hmm. you're Sicilian, you're Genovese, yes. you're Venetian. What? What are we, you know? But he calls Nucky basically, I think, because he's saying we got a problem. Mm-hmm. I think he's saying we got to get rid of this guy.
Yeah,
I think we have some problems here with New York.
Huge problems.
Right?
I think that
for him, the Statue of Liberty, I mean,
kind
the
Empire State Building
to go into the
and how they're
body.
Setting this up, where we do have Lucky, and we have Lucky with his relationships and his gangsters, and then you have him and Meyer, kind of secretly still in allegiance or not so secretly anymore. Then you have Capone, who they've now kind of isolated. You have Narcisse, who they've pushed aside, and you have Nucky, who I don't think they're on good terms with. So is it going to become this whole team of Lucky, of Capone, Narcisse, Nucky against them? Like, how is this going to happen?
It's a complete mess. Mm-hmm. And going back to what the Commodore said, I have nothing against those races, but they don't mix.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we may not have time to get to Mike August's catches, but one of the ones that he mentioned was that Nucky knows that the Commodore, he'll mm-hmm. grow to see the Commodore be a very bad man. And the fact that he said this about races not mixing,
mm-hmm.
you see why Mike was saying that's maybe why Nucky was so quick to work with Chalky. Because he's like, I'm not like you, Commodore. I don't believe what you believe. You know, you are a bad man.
I know he has tons of interesting insights. Did he have any that pop to your head that we can talk about before we go to predictions?
No, I think we just got to go right to predictions. Mostly the colors, the red, and, you know, he had some other things in there. But the one that's, those were the ones that stuck out with me.
Thank you, Mike. We'll make sure we
quickly
put
to
some
predictions,
more in there
Nando.
Next week. And
now, you're after Buzz TV.
One prediction from Sarah.
I only have one prediction. There was a line in this tonight between Margaret and Nucky where she said they kind of admitted to each other what drew them into their initial relationship, what kind of got them suckered in. And he said that she was just so lost, and she said that he was just so lonely. And I think when they really truly hit those states again, when she is truly lost and he is truly lonely, or the other way around, and where she is truly lonely and he is truly lost, that is when we're going to really see them reconnect.
And she also blamed Prohibition. He was like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And that's another
right
foreshadowing
now,
for him saying, you know what, maybe this isn't the right way.
Yeah. So I think they're going to come back together. I think it's going to come.
Do you think she's going to die?
And that's, I don't. I think lost and lonely. Oh. They're going to be lost and lonely
again,
and
then
they're going to come together.
Oh, I hope so. Okay, and we, guys, just apologizing. Our feed got cut off before the predictions. Nana, you can start rolling us out here because I know our next show is coming in. But as we saw, the end of the show, we got cut off from scenes from next week.
Yes,
but
I think
there's going to be Narcisse, right? Don't you think that they're going to have to revisit Narcisse?
They have to. He has to come
right?
back. Are you kidding me? It's episode 5.
Yeah, no, it's really getting scary, guys.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, you can't find Sarah anywhere except she does Anatomy of a Movie. And what else are you doing?
I'm here. I also am part of the Schmoe's new network, Movie Talk Nation. You know.
That's right. You do a box office breakdown.
I do that as well.
Very nice.
You guys can find me if you look around on the internet.
All right. I'm also doing Sons of Anarchy for After Buzz, and you can find me at Undergaro. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.